word of the Lord. You know, as Brad was talking a while ago about the service the other night, how there were 250 people in the room with us, but it was almost as if he stood there alone. The Lord was speaking directly into him. I believe that is the case here today. I believe there's somebody under the sound of my voice that the Lord is speaking directly to right now. This word is for you. Many times we don't understand why the Lord allows us to go through certain things. Me and my wife have been going through something over the last little while. It's been very trying. And you know, the Lord almost just confirmed it to me a while ago. We go through things so that other people, we can relate to what they're going through. I said it in Sunday school this morning. The Apostle Paul said, "Unto the Jews I became as a Jew." Come on. And I feel that way in my soul today. It's almost that if our burden is connected to the burden of someone else. And I believe that what we're going through is so that we can help someone else through what we're going through. If you got your Bibles, I want to preach to you a brief sermon today out of the book of 1 Chronicles, the 21st chapter. 1 Chronicles 21, and I'm going to read verse 9 through 18. It says, "And the Lord spake unto God," or "the Lord spake unto Gad," I'm sorry. Maybe the Lord does speak unto himself. My wife does that sometimes. "The Lord spake unto Gad, David's seer, saying, Go and tell David, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David, and he said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, King David, choose thee either 3 years of famine, or 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes, while that the sword of thine enemies overtake thee, or else 3 days the sword of the Lord. Even the pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the coasts of Israel. Now therefore, advise thyself what word I shall bring again to him that sent me." David said unto Gad, "I am in a great strait." Somebody say, great strait. David realized he was in a really big mess. He said, "Gad, I'm in a great strait. Let me now fall into the hand of the Lord, for very great are his mercies. But let me not fall into the hand of man." So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men. And God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of the evil. That is David. And he said to the angel that was destroying, "It is enough. Stay now thine hand." And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. David lifted up his eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand, stretched out over Jerusalem. And then David and the elders of Israel who were clothed in sackcloth fell upon their faces. And David said unto Gad, or David said unto God, is it not I that commanded the people to be numbered? Even I is it that have sinned and done evil indeed. But as for these sheep, as for your people, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, O Lord my God, be upon me and on my father's house, not on thy people, that they should be plagued. Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David, that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Would you help me preach for just a few moments today on this topic? The treasure of your tragedy. The treasure of your tragedy. God bless you. You may be seated today. The treasure of your tragedy is a paradox. It sounds like two opposite ends of the spectrum. But how many know that God's ways are not our ways? The way we see things is not always the way that God wants us to see things. And one of the hardest things in our walk with God, and as we progress in our walk with God, is for us to realize that God can take a bad situation and He can turn it around and turn it into a treasure. My God, I wish somebody would help me today. God can take your bad situation. He can turn it around and He can make it unto you a treasure. My Lord. And I believe the Lord is going to do that today for somebody. And I want to speak to you for just a few moments on this topic, the treasure of your tragedy. It's hard for us to understand today that God is able to take what the enemy uses and intends for evil and turn it into good. How can someone who has a problem with alcohol, how can that turn out to be a blessing for them? How can someone who has been diagnosed with a serious illness, how can that turn out to be a blessing unto them? How can someone who faces uncertain circumstances, how can their situation turn around and turn out to be a blessing and a treasure unto them? Can I tell you today that Satan destroys none but by their own hand? He is a master of trickery. He is a master of getting us to do what God does not want us to do. He destroys none but by their own hands. You see, he deceives, he lies in wait, and he waits to deceive, and he tricks us into doing the things that are exactly the opposite of what God would have us to do. The first verse of this chapter, the Bible says, and we didn't have time to read it all, but I encourage you to go back and read the book of Chronicles, the 21st chapter. Read the whole chapter after this sermon today, and the Lord will reveal it to you in a new way. The very first verse of this chapter, the Bible said that Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number God's people. Now listen, how many know today that Satan is standing up against the church? Come on, Brad was talking about a while ago as he was calling a few people out. He was expressing to them, listen, I know you're going through some hard times right now, but all it is Satan is standing up against you right now. Satan stood up against David also, and he caused David to number God's people, even though God did not tell him to do it. And that's what this whole chapter is about. Now, the children of Israel were numbered before. The difference this time was, the previous time God had instructed Moses to number God's people. But this time the instructions did not come, Brother Harold, from the Lord. This time Satan stood up against David and he instructed him, he invoked him, he incited him to count God's people. Now the promise had been given that the children of Israel would be numbered so many that you could not count them. They would be as the seas of the shore. There would be so many, God would bless his people so much you would not be able to count them. But David chose to count God's people by the instruction of the devil. Now listen, I don't know why it angered the Lord so bad this time. The Bible really does not give us the answer to that, other than maybe David was doing it with a prideful heart. Maybe David wanted to see how great his kingdom was. Come on. Maybe David was putting more trust in the number of soldiers in his army than the strength of his God. Come on, I don't know why the Lord got so angry with David, but his instruction to count God's people did not come from the Lord. It came from the devil. And it upset the Lord to the point that he was willing to destroy Jerusalem and God's people. Now, there was a reason why God did not want David to take a census. There was a reason why God did not want David to count the people. The Bible does not really tell us what that is, but the Lord even used Joab, David's right-hand man, to try and persuade him from doing it. Have you ever had something in your life that you had made up in your mind to do, and all of your good counsel instructed you and advised you not to do it, but you did it anyway? Come on. Every hand in this house ought to be raised right now. Every one of us have been there and done exactly what David did. We made up in our mind, we purposed in our heart to do something that was not instructed of God for us to do. Our counsel told us better. Our counsel told us, our conscience, the people of God, our friends, our family told us, don't do that, there's going to be a consequence to pay, but we did it anyway. This is exactly the circumstance that King David found himself in. He was instructed by Joab. Joab told him, he said, don't do that, King David. I advise you not to do that. But how many knows what the king wants, the king gets? So David numbered the people of God, and it angered the Lord to the point that he wanted to destroy the people of God. What the king wants, the king gets. And this time, it cost 70,000 people their life. Don't ever think that what you do is not going to have an impact upon those that are around you. Don't ever think that what you do is not going to cause trouble and harm and hurt for the people that you love. Because when you go against what God wants for you in your life, you're going to bring destruction. You're going to bring sudden destruction upon the people that you love. This time, King David cost 70,000 people their lives. Innocent people that didn't do anything. Come on, I think, church, sometimes we don't fully understand the importance of God calling us to lead. You see, we need to understand, whether it's a man leading his family, Whether it's a teacher leading her class, or a mother with her children, or a boss on their job. Listen, whether no matter what the circumstance is, we need to understand today there are consequences for misleading people. There's consequences. And we're going to answer to God for that. We're going to answer to God for these things. David angered God by numbering Israel. So you know what he did? He repented. He said, I have sinned greatly. I have done very foolishly. An angel of the Lord came and smote 70,000 men. And you know what? David seen this thing and he looked up and he saw this angel standing up on the threshold of Ornan the Jebusite. And here's the angel of God with sword in hand, drawn back, about to destroy Jerusalem. And it repented David's heart to see God's people suffer for something that he did. Can I tell you today, don't make the people around you suffer for the things that you do. Come on, listen. If we'll only fall in line with what God is trying to tell us, if we'll only fall in line with what God is speaking into us, people will not pay for what we do. David saw on the threshold of Ornan the Jebusite, the angel of the Lord, sword in hand, draw back, about to destroy Jerusalem. He had to choose between three things. It was either 3 years of famine, 3 months of falling at the sword of his enemies, or 3 days at the hand of the Lord. He knew God was merciful. He knew God would be more merciful than his enemies would. He knew God would be more merciful than the famine would be. He knew that if he was going to grab a hold of anything, he was going to grab a hold of the mercy of God. And you know what? When he seen that angel standing there with the sword of the Lord, it repented his heart and it made him feel guilty for causing people to pay for what he had done. So you know what he did? He began to beg unto the Lord. And he said, Lord, please, Lord, it's me. I'm the sinner. I'm the one who's done wrong. Don't make your people pay for what I've done. And David began to repent, and David began to beg God for mercy for the children of Israel. And you know what? The Lord heard him. The Lord heard him, and the Lord answered. And the Lord instructed his seer Gad to tell him, listen, you go on over to that threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, and you build an altar there. So you know what David did? David goes over and he approaches Ornan the Jebusite, and he says, listen, I need to build an altar unto the Lord here, because that's what the angel of the Lord has instructed me to do. So he builds an altar unto the Lord, and he offers up a sacrifice unto God, and the Lord accepts his sacrifice. Now hear me today. Not only did David go over and build an altar up on the threshing floor. You remember I talked not long ago about what a threshing floor was. It was a big old piece of hard land or concrete, a big old rock of concrete that they would bring the oxen and they would thresh the wheat, and they would go back and forth until it separated the wheat from the husks. And then they would throw it up in the air and the wind would blow the chaff away. And then they would sweep up all the good grain and they would keep their harvest. So not only did David build an altar upon the threshing floor of this Jebusite, but now he desires to purchase that land. He goes to Ornan the Jebusite and he says, I need this land. So he buys the oxen, he buys the threshing floor, and even he goes to the point and he buys the whole property or the whole land that the threshing floor was on. Listen, he brought that threshing floor and those oxen, and he bought that ground that it was upon, and he built an altar and he sacrificed unto the Lord. And you know what? Even more than that, that is eventually where Solomon's temple was built. Listen, I want you to understand today, the threshing floor of this Jebusite was a commonplace. There was not a beautiful edifice there. There was not a beautiful building there. There was no divine structure there, but there was a rock there. There was a rock there. Come on. And upon this rock, he said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So we need to understand today, because the rock was there, David was able to build an altar unto the Lord. You need to build your house upon the rock today. You need to build your house upon the rock today, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Listen, God met David. Gad spoke to David. He said, the Lord said for you to build an altar and make a sacrifice. So David makes an altar and he offers a sacrifice. God met David on that threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Now, do you know who? It's important today that you understand who the Jebusites were. The Jebusites were a tribe out of the land of Canaan. These were the enemy of God's people. Come on. And the Lord appears unto David on the threshing floor of his enemy. My God, you realize how significant that is today? He appears unto David. He met David on the threshing floor of a Jebusite, which was from the land of Canaan, the enemy of God's people. The fact that God met David on that threshing floor of that Jebusite tells us that has no respecter of persons. He has no respecter of persons. Come on, God will meet you anywhere. God will meet you on your job. God will meet you in your car. God will meet you in the hospital or in the jail cell. God will meet you wherever you offer a sacrificial offering of praise unto Him. God will meet you there. As long as there's a rock there, Jesus is the rock of all ages. Come on, He's the rock of our salvation today. He's the chief cornerstone that the builders rejected. The fact that the Lord met David on the threshing floor of the people of God's enemy shows us that God is no respecter of person. Your circumstance can never be great enough that God can't change it. Come on, your circumstance, your problem can never be deep enough that God can't reach it. Come on, your mountain can never be big enough that God can't move it. Whatever it is, God will meet you there. As long as your house is built up on a rock and you got a heart that is repentative and you understand that God wants to move on your behalf, the Lord will meet you there. The Lord will meet you there. The Lord will meet you in your home. The Lord will meet you on your job. The Lord will meet you in the jail cell. The Lord will meet you in the hospital. The Lord will meet you in your enemy's territory, and He'll turn your tragedy into a treasure. Listen, I want you to understand something today. This all began with David being invoked by the devil. All right? Here's a man, and the Bible says that Satan stood up against Israel. He knew that he did not have the power to destroy God's people. So you know what he does? He finds himself a vessel. He invokes David, and by the hand of David, 70 men lost their life. The enemy has never destroyed one but by their own hand. He is a master of trickery today. He tricked David into numbering God's people that was not instructed by the Lord to do so. And he wants to trick you today into believing that your tragedy is permanent. Come on, if your circumstance is not fatal, Your circumstance is not final. Come on, I got three amens out of that. I thought that was pretty good. If your circumstance is not fatal, if it don't kill you, your circumstance is not final. God has a final say so. Come on, I don't care how big your mistake is. I don't care how big your problem is. God will take your tragedy and turn it into your treasure today. He'll take your tragedy, He'll turn it into your treasure. Upon the threshing floor of your enemy, God will build His house. Upon the threshing floor of His enemy, God will build His house. The Jebusites were the enemies of God's people, but God was not limited to build a house upon His own people's land. God said, you know what I'm going to do, David? I'm going to manifest myself to you on your enemy's territory. And that's what I come to tell you today. God will move on your behalf even when you are surrounded by your enemies. Even when your tragedy seems so great. Even when your problem is consuming you so much you don't know what to do. God will move on your behalf. And God will take your tragedy and He'll turn it into your treasure. It's a paradox today. When the enemy would, what he would use for evil, God will turn to good. There is a treasure in your tragedy. If you just hold on to the unchanging hand of the Lord. Jesus is the rock of all ages, church. Jesus is the rock of our salvation. Jesus is the chief cornerstone that the builders rejected. Listen, the Lord didn't need a child of God's ground to build upon. The Lord didn't need a perfect situation. He didn't need an ideal circumstance. All He needed was a foundation. And He found a foundation upon the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, David's enemy. And He said, I'm going to build my house. I'm going to manifest myself to you in the presence of your enemies. My God. The treasure of your tragedy. Come on. David repented. He seen the hand of the angel of the Lord drawn back with the sword. And he threw himself at the mercy of the Lord. That's all we have to do today. Come on. No, listen. The Lord doesn't expect you to fix everything. The Lord expects you to trust Him to fix everything. The Lord don't expect you to have all of the answers and make every right decision. The Lord expects you to trust Him to lead you and to guide you into all truth and righteousness. The Lord will direct your path. The Lord will order your steps. The Lord will be a lamp unto your feet. The Lord will be a light unto your path. If you'll just fall down and ask Him for His mercy today. That's what David understood. The angel of the Lord was about to destroy God's people. And it broke David's heart. And he realized. And he began to beg. And he began to plead. And he threw himself at the mercy of God. And he said, Lord. He said, I'm the sinner here. I'm the one that messed up here. I'm the one that went against your will here. There was no pretension in him. Come on, he didn't try to put the blame on anybody else. Listen, he had the mindset of Job, and he understood, though he yet slay me, I'm yet will I praise him. You just got to fall down at the mercy of God and say, Lord, I messed up and I need your help today. He had the mindset of Job. And he said, though he yet slay me, yet will I praise him. I'm the one that messed up, Lord. I'm the one that went out of your will. I'm the one that done what I was not supposed to do. As the musicians come, the Lord will take your tragedy and He'll turn it into your treasure. I know that the Lord is speaking to the heart of someone here today. I know there's someone here under the sound of my voice today that feels broken. You feel deserted. You feel you're out of options. You feel like you don't know where to go or what to do. You feel like you've failed in every aspect of the word. You feel like there's no hope for you. But can I tell you today, there's always hope when the Lord is here. Come on, God wants to take your tragedy today. He wants to turn it into a treasure on your behalf. He wants to manifest himself to you on the threshing floor of your enemies. As long as there's a rock, God can build something today. The Lord will take your tragedy and he'll turn it into your treasure. The treasure of your tragedy. Does it sound crazy today that I can tell you that 5 years from now you can look back and you can say, I don't know what I did. I didn't know what I was going to do. I thought it was all over. I thought I had lost. Right when I thought there was no more hope, the Lord came in. The Lord sent somebody by my way. The Lord sent me a Gad, and he spoke God's word into my life. And he took my tragedy and he turned it into my treasure. Now here I am 5 years later. I'm walking with the Lord. He's blessing me. I'm strong. My life is new. My life has changed. Can I tell you what your future can look like today if you only realize there's treasure in your tragedy? Church, don't throw in the towel. God is not finished yet. These altars are open as we get ready to sing this song today. There's treasure in your tragedy. When in all the history of the world has a nation ever returned to its homeland after 100 years of exile and slavery? There's only one that I can recall. They were on the Lord's side. God's people were exiled. They went into slavery. Jeremiah the prophet, he spoke it, that God was going to deliver them. And Almighty God made it so. God made what the words of a prophet spoke come to pass. And you know what? Cyrus, the king of Persia, declared, he said, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth. He ruled over anybody that was even close to him. He had power and authority over them. And he said, the Lord has given me all of these things, all of these kingdoms, all of these people. But yet he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem. God's people were in desperation. They were in bondage. They were in slavery. They had hard taskmen. Can I tell you today, the devil is a hard taskman. Come on, he's not going to let up on you. He's not going to let you be. He's going to continue to beat you. He's going to continue to hurt you. He's going to continue to constrain you and oppress you. The devil is a hard taskman. The children of Israel had hard taskmen. For over 100 years they abode in slavery. Come on. But Cyrus, the king of Persia, declared the Lord had told him to build a house at Jerusalem. See, you know what he did? He gave back all of the riches they had stolen from the children of Israel. And he said, go on your way. Go back to Jerusalem and go on and build the Lord's house. Hallelujah. And you know what they did? They went and they built the Lord's house and they returned to their homeland. Their tragedy became their treasure. You still think God can't fix your situation today? You still think God can't move on your behalf today? You still think God is not able to do it? I come to tell you today, He's able. The Lord can take your tragedy. He can turn it into your treasure. You might not be able to see it right now, but you got to find a way to believe it. You might not be able to see the end of a thing right now, but you got to figure out a way to believe that God is going to move on your behalf. Is there anybody in this house as we stand all over this place today that's willing to say, Lord, I can't see it right now, but I know that you're able. Lord, I can't see the end. I can't see how you're going to fix it, but I believe you for it. Show me the treasure of my tragedy. I want my wife to come up here right now. She's going to be the first one at this altar today because we have a need. And I want all of those of you that love her, I want you to come up here right now and I want you to bind together with her. If there's anybody else in this house today, you're faced with an uncertain circumstance. You don't know how this thing is going to end. You don't know how God's going to make a way, but the Lord is able to turn your tragedy into your treasure. Would you come to the front of this church as we sing this song unto the Lord today? And let's believe God for something mighty in this house, the treasure of your tragedy. Claim it today. Believe it today. God's going to move. God's going to make a way. God's going to do it. If you just believe it, you don't have to see it. Just believe God for it today. He's going to move. He's going to make a way.